The Holy Gospel today comes from the 16th chapter of Luke. Jesus said, "There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames.' But Abraham said, 'Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good works, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us.' He said, 'Then, Father, I beg you, send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment.' Abraham replied, 'They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them.' He said, 'No, Father Abraham. But if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent.' He said to him, 'If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead.'" This is the word of life. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. All right, so are you worthy? That was the question. Well, let me ask you some other questions, since I was asking questions. The first question: how much wood could a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? I don't know the answer to that. I don't even know what a woodchuck is. Do we have woodchucks in Washington? Well, I could probably Google that. Okay, how about this one? Here's an easier question. What are the authentic letters of Paul? Raise your hand if you know what they are. And if you do, well, then you only know it partially, because it's disputed what that means. And you can Google that too, but it's okay. Next one. Tell me, in your own words, the soteriological significance of the cross in Luke's gospel, which relates to today's reading. Who would like to do that? Anybody? No? All right. All right, this is really then the last question. How do we fit in this story today? How do we fit in this story today? That's probably the real and best question right now for the story I just read from Jesus. Are we worthy? Do you feel worthy? Probably nobody is. It was more a rhetorical question. Yeah, right. That's probably the answer, you know. Not all the time. And we're probably not dressed in purple and fine linen, although I technically am. I had to switch it over because it's green, the green season, but I switched it over just for the reading. I am technically that rich guy. And probably most of us are that rich person. So let's just say for a second, this side is the rich person side. Sorry, because it's all of us anyway. So it could be them as well. I could flip the coin. It's going to be heads, you're rich. So just pretend for a second. Think you're rich. You're Lazarus. Lazarus is named. The poor person is named. Lazarus is over there. The rich guy is over here. Hades is another word for Sheol, an Old Testament term. It means hell, but in the sense of an abode, of kind of a waiting place, like a cave. And Abraham says in the story, that Jesus tells that there's a chasm, there's a red carpet where you can't cross. Abraham and the poor folk are over there. Rich folk are here. Where do we fit in this story? And how? I don't think we want to be that rich guy, according to the story. But we are. We are. I could put this purple robe probably on most of you, and that would make sense in our culture, in our comfortable world that we live in. So it's challenging. I think that story is challenging today. Where do we fit? Soteriology means significance. What's the significance of Jesus? What's the significance of this story for us? And how that relates to Jesus? Those chasms, the things we create them all the time. For those who, if we feel worthy, well, that person is unworthy, obviously, because they're not doing as well as I am. I've lifted myself up with my bootstraps. I've lived the American dream. I've worked hard. That person hasn't. Obviously, they're not worthy. Maybe they're even a sinner. Maybe they're undesirable. The people who we create gates to keep away, because we've got it made scrumptiously, the text says. It's heavy. Yeah, this is a heavy text. Well, you're in luck because there's a way out of this, and it's not magic. It's just my friend Pastor Dean, my Baptist turned Lutheran. I always got to call him when I'm stuck, and he always comes through with something. And his point was, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And here's what he means by it doesn't matter whether you think you're worthy or not. How we create things is often based on guilt, shame, and fear. And that happens in the church as well. I'm going to guilt you into something. I mean, I could tell you right now, I wouldn't do this, but let's just say for more of the thought experiment sake, I could tell you that in this less than month of the school year going on in North Thurston, there are 47 families who are living in cars or in tents. 47. 2 years ago it was 15, which seemed like an extraordinary amount. This is 47 after a month. It's going to be more than that by the end of the year. That's a big number. Now that's a big number. Now when I've shared that number with others, as soon as I hear it, I'm just trying to witness to the truth, to the reality of where we are. I mean, and if you don't believe me, a lot of them are right outside the library. If you go to the Lacey Library like I do, probably 4 or 5 times a week because I love libraries and books. But there are RVs and cars there. We're at least probably 15 of those families or more are right now. This is not made up. This is real. This is real. Those are the folks who, they might be at the gates. And we sit here, or we sit in the city council, or we sit in our wonderful homes and think about it, maybe. Contemplate, man, that's a big number. I don't know what to do. Now, I could give you 30 things to do because, you know, that's what Pastor Eric does. Hey, here's a problem. How about these 5 things we could do to solve that? That's my nature. But as Dean reminded me, while I'm trying to think of how can we help, I'm also shaming St. Mark. You. Because I think, well, maybe St. Mark isn't worthy as a church. We're kind of creating this chasm of non-response. We're not worthy. And Dean reminded me, that's on me. Because I'm not worthy because of that. Why am I judging like that? It doesn't matter, Dean says. Because in this text, there's a key word in there, repent. Repent, which means return. To turn to Jesus. Again and again and again in the gospel. Jesus says, turn and follow me. Follow me. Follow me. And if you're rich, well, that's all of us here. I'm not going to flip the coin. We're heads on that. We're all rich. It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard for you if you're rich. And that's why he tells this story. This is kind of one of the last stories where he says, look, having riches and wealth is a good thing, and there's a great guidance in 1 Timothy 6:18. Do good, be ready to share, be generous. We just heard that reading. There's plenty of things to do as a rich person, but boy, it's going to be hard for you to follow me. You got to take up your cross. You got to deny yourself. You got to sell everything and follow me. In fact, let me tell you this story, and then he tells this story. Of us and the poor. And we can't do it. We fail. We're not worthy. All we can do is return. All we can do is repent. And from guilt and shame and fear, we move to forgiveness and faith and love. Those are the greater things. Jesus repeatedly, throughout this gospel especially, talks about forgiveness. How should you pray? Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who. How many times should we pray about forgiveness? How often should we forgive? For your whole life. 70 times 7. In fact, that's what I want you to know, that you're forgiven. Because when you're forgiven, then you're free. You're free of the shame and the guilt and the fear. And you can move toward love, which transcends all. Perfect love casts out fear. It casts out everything. So who are we in this text? We might be those brothers. And we've received a warning from this story. Maybe there's still something we can do, which is to receive the gift. The gift of this broken Jesus. That's what happens in the end of this gospel. Jesus is resurrected, and he's walking with some folks. Kind of like me, for example, who's like, man, what was that story about Jesus? I don't get it. Why did he tell that story? I'm rich. I feel guilty. I'm ashamed. I don't know what to do. I'm just stuck. And Jesus says, look, this is what it's about. My broken body for you. My body given for you. My blood poured out for you. For all of us. The rich man, the poor man. And in fact, that's what he says in the end of the gospel. It's the last thing he says. You're going to be my witnesses of this forgiveness thing. It's going to transcend any sense of shame, fear, guilt. When you're not feeling worthy, God flips the coin. Heads, you're worthy.
When you feel shame, God flips the coin. You're good. You're my beloved child. When you feel fearful, God flips the coin. I got you. Take some of my son into you, into your flesh, and go and love. And I'll be here for you. When you don't feel worthy, come back. We'll sit around, flip the coin, remember that we're worthy. We are witnesses. With praise and thanksgiving, Jesus is always urging us. Take a peek at the Lacey Library, those folks. Take a peek, because Jesus reminds us it's heads all the way. There is no chasm on this earth. God is a God, is a chasm-busting God through Jesus. Jesus is for us. It's a tough message today, because we could do more. Maybe we should do this. Maybe a bigger garden. The only thing God remember is you're forgiven. And the odds are always in your favor when you know that. That's what faith is. That every time God flips a coin, heads, we're worthy. Amen.